This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is George Olshig. George is the chairman and CEO of SafeMark Systems. In 1996, George led the buyout of SafeMark, a company that provides hotel safes and electronic lockers. With an impressive installation base of more than 1 million hotel guest rooms, SafeMark's extensive portfolio includes locations from New York's famous Waldorf Astoria to economy hotels on the other side of the globe. Approved and utilized by 39 of the top 40 hotel brands, SafeMark's products include the industry's most comprehensive audit trail designed to protect guests' valuables and shield hotels from alleged losses. SafeMark's products are backed by installation experts, technical support, and include a vast range of safe options. George has grown SafeMark to number one in the world in its business space, providing consistent returns to investors. He graduated from the University of Georgia and spent his early career years as a banker. There, he led teams and financing for every imaginable type of venture. George is on the board of Global Teams, a worldwide ministry servicing unreached people groups, and Elevate Orlando, providing mentors to disadvantaged middle school and high school students in Orange County Public Schools. Maybe most importantly, George is the father of two beautiful girls and one beautiful granddaughter. George, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
I would like to start today. I just read about an award that your company got. I guess it's the Vendor Quality Award?
Yes.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a surprise and quite an honor given by the International Society of Hospitality Purchasers, purchasing companies that provide furniture, fixture, and equipment for hotels. And we work with them very closely to reach our market and reach the hoteliers in our market. And what it says is that we can be trusted, that we deliver, that we do what we say we're going to do. And it is really a unique award, and it's not just a token kind of thing. So we were very surprised and very honored to be given that award by our customers.
Awesome. You should be very proud of that, and I'm sure you and your whole management team is proud of that. Okay, in your own words, tell us a little bit about SafeMark. It's a very interesting company, and our listeners are very excited about getting into the space of the leaders that are visitors because they're trying to learn from what happens in a guest's organization, and as a result of that, maybe learn some things that they can use in their home organizations. So tell us a little bit about SafeMark and how it fits into the hotel industry.
Well, SafeMark Systems has been in the business of supplying hotel safes for 30 plus years now. I've owned and run the company for 21 years, and it's been just a really great little business with really good people and a lot of very long-term, mutually profitable relationships. We try to structure win-win deals in everything we do. We want to make sure that our product is the best in the industry, and it's proven to be over time. We have a very narrow focus, but we really want to be the best in the world at what we do rather than doing a lot of things mediocrely.
Good. You also do Best Lockers?
Yes.
And also Scooter Bug?
About 5 years ago, we bought a company called Best Lockers that really had some unique technology for guest locker systems in theme parks, water parks, and ski resorts. And we've grown that business from 1,000 lockers in service to this year, four and a half, five years later, to 110,000 lockers. We will put those lockers in. We're in Disney, SeaWorld, Six Flags, Cedar Fair, Whistler, ski resorts, et cetera. We put them in at our cost, typically, and we do what's called a concession or revenue share deal. There's a guest charge, depending on the facility, and we split that revenue with the operator. And it's been proven to be a very successful model. We're very unique in that space. There are a couple of other smaller competitors, and we've just been mighty blessed to have found this business. It's a metal box. It's providing security related. It's providing security for our customers' guests, and that's one thing we do well. It involves a lot of technology. We have our own software development team now, and many engineers and electrical engineers and technicians to keep that system up to date, ahead of the competition, and working so that our customers and their guests are satisfied and
okay,
happy.
Good. And if people are interested in finding out more, they can go to safemark.com, S-A-F-E-M-A-R-K.com, and kind of go from there and learn much more about the business and these other activities that are included under that SafeMark umbrella. Okay, tell us a little bit about your job. And I know culture is pretty important to you, and you see part of your job as building culture.
Yes, I do. Something we spent a lot of time on in our in my banking career and leadership training and management training that I did there, and also was a result of having done many mergers and acquisitions in that world. And, of course, we've done two or three within SafeMark through the years, and it's very important that teams be integrated, and they be integrated and focused within a certain culture, a culture of doing what you say you're going to do. Built, it's a culture built on trust. That's at the top of the list for everything we do, how we interact with our customers, how we interact with our people, and it's built on doing what you say you're going to do in everything, in every interaction you have. So it's built on trust. It's built on leadership. It's built on customer focus, and it's built on creating long-term relationships.
And in doing what you say you're going to do is one of the major vehicles for building trust.
It is. It is absolutely a requirement.
Now, you have, in your industry, a lot of change that's going on. And I know that when you think about change, you think about Tom Peters and a quote that he had that people should eat change for breakfast, so to speak. Tell us about change, how it fits into your company, and how you as a leader, try to manage change.
Well, I think the first thing that I try to do, and I think that is necessary, is to get people to understand that change is good, and change is necessary, and change is inevitable. And to resist it, it's not a good strategy, and it's not good emotionally, and it's certainly not a good business strategy. You have to accept it, and you have to thrive on it, and I think that is really key. It is necessary to remain competitive in your markets, to keep your products ahead of the competition, to grow internationally, and to integrate integrate acquired companies, which is one of the things we do within SafeMark, is we bring in other products that fit onto our platform. And, you know, there's a lot of change in that process, and we have to get people to understand that this is a fact of life. And getting people actually enjoying it and embracing it.
One of the things that we try to do here is to talk about how we integrate Bible and business, and how biblical principles and business principles, when you put them together, enhance organizational success. Being a good Christian helps you to be a good business person. And we have a feature called Sunday to Monday. And what Sunday to Monday is an idea of what you might hear in church on a Sunday, and then and as a principle, as a biblical principle, and then take that principle on through your work week. And one verse that comes to mind is from Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 3, verse 1. And it says that for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Does this imply that that change is going to happen? It's almost like get ready for change, because everything has a season. Profitability has a season. Losing money has a season. High demand has a season. Low demand has a season. Yeah. Does this help you to hone a focus on the importance of change and the management of change?
Our season is always to be profitable. We're driven that way, try to affect things so that we remain profitable and that we provide growth in our business, which is good for everyone, our customers, our people, our management, and our investors. Our investors require growth.
Right.
We're private equity backed, and as opposed to a lifestyle business, where a family-owned lifestyle business. My family has a business that's 142 years old in Savannah, Georgia. That has to, you know, they can be a little less aggressive in their growth, because, you know, generating a nice income and a nice salary, but unfortunately, in our business with private equity investors, we are driven to continue to grow the company and provide growth opportunities, find growth opportunities, and motivate our people to participate in that. It means that it's not going to be the same every day for every season. In that respect, I think it is a principle that it does apply throughout
It's cyclical
staff.
In terms of things moving and changing. And even though everyone is in business to make a profit, certainly not everybody makes a profit all the time. And that may lead to changes that are aimed at enhancing the profitability.
Well, and that's a great point. And now that I think through it, I mean, we were faced with our main product line that we had, which was a revenue share safe program, and SafeMark really reached its maturity and is declining in demand. When that happened and when we realized it was happening, we said we have to find some other things to do to continue growing the business. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we went out and found companies to buy and other activities within the hotel space to do. And so we really beefed up our direct sales division, which has probably grown 30% a year since then. And we have gone out and bought the Best Locker Company, which was very similar, slightly different markets, but a very similar business. And we have bought a third company called Scooter Bug that is focused on mobility products. All of those related to, they have market overlaps, they have revenue share programs in them. And so that was a case where our profitability was starting to sag. The season for that product line was clearly ebbing, and we recognized that and called it for what it was and went out and found other things to do that would maintain employment, that would enhance our provide a return to our investors and provide a continued place to work.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of challenge that I think all of our listeners either have faced or will face in one way or another.
Yes.
Given the organizations that they're in. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about your leadership style. And I know you talk a lot about servant leadership. Mm-hmm. And there is a wonderful verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. And it basically says, care for the flock that God has entrusted with you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Is that consistent with your view of what a good business manager should be doing?
I think it is, very much so, and it's something that I certainly have picked up through my faith and through the Word, but it also has very, very solid practical day-to-day value. And I think where I like to start with that is, and I talk about this with our leaders within the company, is mm-hmm. that we really have a diamond org chart. At the top of the diamond is our customer. Right under that are our line people and sales folks who are directly interacting. Under the kind of the middle of the diamond are our staff and support people, accounting, logistics, et cetera, who are supporting the line, who is interacting with the customer. And then under the support people are our senior managers, and they are supporting, identifying obstacles and breaking them down, motivating, directing, leading those people to serve the customer. And then at the bottom of the diamond is me. And so that's kind of how I look at it, and I think it says that, look, your goal is not as a manager or leader in the company, it is to organize all of your efforts to serve the customer and not to serve yourself, and that your activities day-to-day should be, how do I support my people so they can do a better job and have a happier people and happier customers?
I really like the idea of a diamond in terms of a visual, in terms of a hierarchy, mm-hmm. because the people at the bottom, in a sense, are those that follow orders or respond to those above in a hierarchy, and the people at the top are the ones that everybody is trying to service as best they can, and it puts the customer up there at the top.
Well, that's right, and I think the normal org structure certainly has people, creates bureaucracies, creates misplaced loyalties, and this keeps it focused. I mean, the customer is the one who signs the paycheck, and so everything is aligned around that customer, which obviously has very strong biblical, is a very strong biblical metaphor as well.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could actually have a customer sign that paycheck?
We actually did it in one company.
Is that right?
We did. Yeah, actually we did it in a letter brought to you by our customers, and here's one of them, and they signed it. But it's a great idea, and unfortunately, I don't think the bank will allow them
to sign your check.
Actually, unless we gave them authority on our bank account.
Okay.
We're not that much. We're probably not going to give our customers authority on our bank account, although in many ways we do. Much of what we do, they self-report to us what their revenues were with the various products that their guests are using and paying for, and we take their word for it, and they tell us what it was, and they send us our portion of that that's agreed to in our long-term contract.
Okay, good. We end each podcast with a pearl of wisdom. We've talked about a lot of different things, and George, what might the one thing you'd like to leave people with, maybe it's a sentence, maybe it's a couple of sentences, but what's the thrust that somebody riding in their car right now can be listening to and say, I need to think about that?
Yeah, well, I do like the concept of love in an organization, and I actually read a book somebody wrote years ago on this, and I tried to put it in our mission statement, and I kind of got watered down. But I think, you know, our creation of long-term relationships is based on integrity, trust, above all else, a win-win, and a passion, which translates into loving our customers and our suppliers. When we create those long-term relationships, it's not just with our customers, it's with our suppliers and partners. And we view everything we do with them as, as a partnering opportunity and a partnering situation. We simply are, price is at the, way down on the list of things we look for when we create a relationship with our people, with our suppliers, with our consultants, with our and with our customers. So The word doesn't get used a lot, but that's effectively what it is.
It's almost developing a network of love across customers, suppliers, and those within the organization. And that network of love ultimately builds the relationship you need for success.
I think it's a big part of that, and probably the biggest part of building relationships. It's that and trust. And trust is and doing what you say you're going to do, and enjoying the people you work with and treating them fairly, all of which are characteristics of love.
Good. Very good advice, George. Yeah. Unfortunately, I need to tell you that your time is now up. Yes, it is. It's gone by quickly. Thank you so much for being here today. You can reach George with the email address GOELSCHIG@safemark.com, SAFEMARK.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you next Wednesday. In the meantime, remember to keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.